This is the Business Times Sunday Morning Roundtable. I'm Al Jamond, the host. Matt Weingartner is running the controls this morning. David Shore and Bob Roper are very much part of this program and this team. And we want to welcome Chancellor Brady Deaton, who normally talks with David Lau from time to time. And good morning, Chancellor. Thanks for coming in. I'll let David and Bob lead the proceedings here because Bob had a lot to do with bringing you in here.
Well, let me just thank you thank each of you for the opportunity to be here with you and speak to the public at a very critical time, at a time when, of course, we're celebrating the success of the Tigers. And I think we can do that also by emphasizing how important the academic strength of this university is for the as part of the athletic success that we're enjoying right now.
Yeah, that's an ugly picture on the Friday Missourian front page above the fold of the governor. And he's got his finger out there, and he's got kind of a mean look on his face. And the headline says, Nixon proposes 12.5% cut to higher education. And I think your visit is very timely, and I'll let Bob and David get into the questioning here, but where do we go from here? Great university, but a lot of financial stresses.
Brady.
Yes, yes, in a time of great concern on our part at the university.
Yeah. Number one issue, you've been going through this now almost since you became chancellor.
Well, absolutely. I became chancellor at a time that we were down below the 2001 allocation that we had thought was a foundation for new heights. At that time, I should remind everyone that we were moving up in our competitiveness with the top AEU research universities of the nation, those 59, I believe it is now, universities of the country, and the 34 public universities, of which MU is proud to be one of. And our salaries of our faculty were approaching the AAU median, which had been a goal of ours for several years. That was 2001. And when I became chancellor, we were battling to move back up to what had been a declining level of funding. And we have yet to achieve that level of funding, I'm very sorry to say, because that competitiveness with the AAU public universities is one of the very key criteria that we look at in gauging the benchmarks and our peer universities nationally. That's what Missouri's invested in since 1839. We can't forget that. It's a promise we've made to lead this state in educating the quality students that want to come, and that means all who are dedicated to achieving academic excellence and to being the engine for economic growth in not only this community, where we provide about a weekly payroll of $16 million. That's not trivial, and that has powerful impact on the economic growth of this state, and that's only part of the bigger step of providing the kind of human capital that can lead us into the future. And I know the governor is aware of this. It's a struggle in tough economic times, but we've got to call attention to the fact that we've just about reached our limits, and I think have reached our limits, and the ability to depend on efficiency to achieve what we need to achieve.
I think that's the part, and you and I get to talk off this show, but the thing that was surprising to me about the statement of the governor was this commentary about efficiency. And, like, you guys haven't managed to squeeze down your enterprise over the last 5 years with cut after cut after cut, yet still managed to maintain some of the highest growth in research dollars of any AAU university, to maintain an integrity with regard to your student scoring, population increase of your students, the total number of students, maintain a reasonable class size. Yet, you know, the big bug we'd probably all talk about, especially a parent like me, tuition increases. I don't understand how there cannot be a commentary about how efficient you guys have become with the limited dollars the state's provided. And what you say?
Well, David, I appreciate your emphasis, and I know you understand it because you have children that have gone through and had a wonderful experience in what's truly the kind of quality major world-class university that we're dedicated to. And I know you have a sense of how your children, as have I, as the father of three children who graduated from this university and gone on to incredible success professionally, as I know your daughters are doing also. And frankly, it's because of the powerful role that this university plays nationally and globally. And we can't back away from that. If you look at the reality of the efficiency we've achieved since 2001, that high point in funding of this university in recent history,
We have now we have 17,000 more students. We generate 85 million more in sponsored research. We provide almost 24 million more in unreimbursed health care. We have broader extension services, including free disaster relief, and a tremendous engine for economic growth through our extension outreach that produced 6,000 more jobs last year alone in the state of Missouri. We are, our economic development has just been powerful in the agricultural development of what's very important to our state, as well as the manufacturing, the business development, in providing global outreach. One thing I want to emphasize, and I liked about the governor's speech, was it recognizing the importance of the local and state's economy to that global market that's so important. I just left Brussels, as some of you know, with over 50 of our students in a class, meeting with our ambassador, talking about the linkages that are so important to the future, and having the private sector in Brussels provide internships this semester to so many of our students, particularly in the School of Journalism. Now, however, as you said, with regard to efficiency, we've declined to 45th among the 50 states in higher education funding. If you look at our surrounding states, we're the lowest of any of them, and the next state, that is the lowest of our neighbors, provides 50% more funding per capita for higher education than does the state of Missouri. And if you look at the highest one of the surrounding states, that's Nebraska. They provide more than double the amount of funding per student as does MU. And that's the competitive environment that we're in.
And that's a school that lost its AAU certification.
That's correct.
In spite of the funding. So if we're talking about quality per dollar, and I'll freely admit I'm being a homer here, okay? If you talk quality per dollar and you talk about how much you've squeezed, you've done a pretty darn good job as an enterprise. And I'd say the system as a whole. Four campuses that represent the system have done a pretty good job.
Yeah, and let me say, I will be speaking generally here of, I'm speaking only of the MU campus when I speak. That's what I'm responsible for, a $2 billion budget, over $500 million in operating funds per year, if we look at only our operating budget, and that's what we have to address. It's a critical issue, and for the public to understand what we're talking about with efficiency, I would just remind us that as we emphasize the automobile industry, as the governor did in his speech, you can't produce cars without steel, without qualified workers, without software programming that's so vital in the manufacturing processes of today. You can only cut that so far to where you get to the point where you can't produce a car. And it's at the margin where you have to be concerned. You keep cutting as long as you're sure you can get that vehicle off the other end in the production line. Likewise with higher education. You can go so far, but when you reach the end of that ability to be efficient, you got to say, whoa, wait a minute, we can't go any farther. I believe the University of Missouri is at that point right now. And so much of our future rests on making the right decisions and the right adjustments right now as we look to the future.
Well, Chancellor, as I recall, I heard either Senator Schaefer or Chris Kelly or maybe both, the cuts over the last 3 years amount to 25%. Is that roughly correct?
That sounds about right. Yes, right.
I keep thinking back to my business career, and everybody in this room, was in that area. I don't know how I would have coped very well if I had to do without 25% of my revenues. So I think I'm getting a picture with what you're dealing with. And I get worried about, are we really going to be able to stay a research institution? Or how do you really cope? Because there's only so much you can do with tuition increases. And then you got another problem if the cost gets too high. We're a pretty good bargain right now, according to the recent articles. But you worry that kids will go to the Internet or they'll go to community colleges, et cetera, et cetera. You want to address all that as to how far down it really is?
Right, and let me say, you've raised a serious set of concerns, Bob, that we grapple with on a daily basis. And we've been able to achieve where we are right now, but principally because of the dedication of the faculty and the administrative staff of this university that's continued to do more with less. Efficiency's been a hallmark. We've had adjustments across the various colleges of this university, cooperation in developing the alignment in our curriculum that's kept students here. Our retention rates have grown throughout this period. Our 6-year graduation rate is one of the better ones among public universities in the nation. We are dedicated to not allowing our AAU status to be threatened, and we now know that while among those 34 public universities, we're struggling. We're not at the bottom of the key indicators, but we're close enough to the bottom of that very select elite group that we don't want to see ourselves threatened any longer. So we've done a lot, and the faculty are aware of this. We've got some of the most outstanding researchers in the world here at the University of Missouri, and even the National Science Foundation has recognized that one of the great tools of our university is our ability to use our research base, that growth of $85 million that I mentioned in sponsored research, to enrich our undergraduate education. And the NSF has said, oh, gosh, 5-10 years ago, they said we're one of the top 10 universities in the nation in achieving that quality. And we've even moved well beyond where we were when that measurement was taken. We're proud of that. We have student internships. I mentioned the work in Brussels. We have thousands of students all over this state right now working on a part-time basis and through guided service learning to achieve that quality education. These are all the components that have gone in that have enabling our university to make the adjustments, Bob, that you spoke about.
Yeah, I don't know how we make the university more of a sacred cow throughout the state. Obviously, other sectors are sacred cows, because it always seems to be some in social services and invariably higher education that gets whacked by the big axe. And I just think we're to the point
Bob,
where...
How do we take this? How do we take this outrage of these cuts and make it a statewide issue and get people in all corners of the state concerned about this and start telegraphing messages to representatives and senators and saying, wait a minute, enough is enough.
Yeah, there's no more. This isn't crying wolf. This is the real deal. And I guess somehow or other, all of us interested parties, alums, et cetera, need to figure out outreach in every way possible. We've talked about it before.
Well, an extension,
it's critical,
you know, in the past, I mean, the extension branches of the university in all 114 counties of the state were the front door to the university, and they still exist. But, I mean, how do we, and we're outraged. I mean, we're all homers in this room. And, we, you know, this is a program listened to by a lot of people in this area, in this region. And so how do we take the outrage of these cuts and just make it a statewide issue and say enough?
It's called alumni.
Yes.
And one of the issues that's out there is stimulating that base. Brady, how many statewide alum do you have now?
Well, we have 260,000 worldwide alums of this university that are very active, and over half of those, of course, here in the state of Missouri. And they're a very powerful group, and we aren't crying wolf. And as we raise some of these issues, we say among ourselves, well, we don't want to be whiners. And clearly, I think it's fair to say this campus, particularly in this university, have not been whiners. We've been partners of the state and the legislature and the parents. And we spend a lot of time every year talking to those groups, and particularly parents. If you sit down with a group of parents of the students we have at this university, you hear such a different message than you do so often publicly. These parents are saying, give our students the best quality education you possibly can, because we realize they're competing for the future jobs on a global stage.
Let's play a little bit of a skeptic, though. I mean, in spite of how much we appreciate it. One would argue that one of the reasons why you're being able to stabilize things right now is the fact that more students are actually staying in school, because the market's so bad that that's helped us, if you will, increase tuition dollars, increase costs per unit, if you will, expand our base, keep dollars coming in at a high level,
right,
from outside the state of Missouri. The other discussion that's out there cynically about growth of the university, if you will, is the fact that there's a dropping number of high school students throughout the country, not just here, and potentially the expansion of the university will contract and become more in line with some of your demand. What say you?
Well, first, let me point out that so far the quality of our university has been maintained and improved over the last decade, to the point where out-of-state applicants to our university now exceed in-state applicants. And so I think that's something that the public is not aware of. Now, they only represent about 24% of our student body, but the reputation is growing. We're still a bargain nationally in public higher education. And the attractiveness of that to out-of-state students particularly is tremendous. Nevertheless, we have more Missouri students also at the university than we've ever had in history. So, and the projections for next fall is almost another 1,000 students coming into the university.
ACT scores?
ACT scores are going up. So there's a rosy picture there, but that rosy picture on enrollment has been based on our ability to deliver. And I would again call attention to that production of automobiles. We try to be as honest as we can about where we are. And where we are right now is we're not sure we have enough steel to make very many more automobiles. So we're struggling in a way that we have never had to struggle before, let me say, as we've made these marginal adjustments and improved the efficiency of what we're all about. And that's why I am very sensitive to any criticism about the efficiency and the administrative capability of what we're doing at our university. We need to be praising our faculty for what they've done. We need to be praising the tremendous team that's led us to these level of achievements with declining state funding.
So the statement by Representative Kelly of this, the statements made by the governor as being demeaning and insulting, would be somewhat capable?
Well, let me say I do want to speak for Senator Kelly in this regard. But he and Senator Schaefer have both been tremendous spokespersons for this university, and I don't want to label anyone here because I know we're the entire state leadership is struggling with a very difficult economic situation. We want to be and expect to be actively engaged in that dialogue, trying to present the facts and the figures, as I'm trying to do this morning, without, you know, getting into a partisanship here or over criticism of any aspect of our state leadership, because I understand the difficulty that they're coping with.
Well, apropos this part of the conversation, I think the university can be very proud of its pace of growth of the student body in the last few years. There was an article not too long ago that said that with respect to the AAU universities, 52, 53, something like that, and the Big 12, MU ranked number one, which is a great testament to the university and to yourself, frankly,
yeah,
because somebody had to put in the practices and do the strategic thinking to go get them, so to speak, and bring them in. I think that has been a little bit overlooked as to the beneficial results of that. So congratulations on that.
Bob,
and good
I
luck.
That.
Good
Thank
luck
you.
Going forward,
Thank
too.
You.
So you're saying in spite of all these cuts, they've managed to excel?
I'm saying they've done exceptionally well in bringing in students at a pace that you wouldn't think would be possible
and
the cuts.
Bob, let me interject here. The brilliance of the university in going into the international market and developing, particularly from the Pacific Rim area, a large and growing student population from overseas.
Absolutely. In fact, those numbers have now crept up above 2,000 international students. And I should point out, while some of that growth has been at the undergraduate level, historically, the quality of our institution in the graduate levels particularly is what's driven the markets. Right now, and Bob, you mentioned this earlier, I believe, off mic, that more and more countries around the world are now trying to keep all those quality people home. I can remember the first time I went to China, Beijing, their leaders of the top universities in the country said, we're providing support to our students. We're hoping we get back 1 in 10 of those graduate students we send to the United States. Mm-hmm. Right now, they're getting back, I believe, 40-50% or more of their students.
Right.
That's a very powerful figure.
And that does lead into something. There was an article in the local papers not long ago. I think the impact of foreign students on the university is around $50 million a year. I don't know where that was derived. And these tend to be very good students, and a lot of them are in technology, engineering, sciences, et cetera.
Sure.
My hope is that we wise up in this country. This is not related to this, but I'm going to say it anyway, and liberalize our immigration laws so that these highly capable, highly intelligent people who would like to stay here don't have to go home and compete against us simply because the quotas are too low. I don't think that gets talked about enough, but you'd love to keep a lot more of these people here so that they can make a great contribution as ultimately new citizens in our country.
Bob, excellent point, and as you know, and I hope the public understands that that's how we got here as a nation. We're a nation of immigrants, and I always applauded Senator Bond, former Senator Bond, for being a strong advocate of just the kind of modification of the immigration patterns that we have on just those points.
Well, I think there's a bipartisan movement going on right now to do just that. Everybody knows that those quota limits are way too narrow and small, considering the amount of talent that's out there that would love to stay here and be terrific citizens going forward.
Right.
Brady, health care, big issue, very major component of your enterprise.
Right.
University hospitals and health care is part of this campus.
Yeah, it's about $800 million, in fact, total of with a tremendous health care system that we have. And Dr. Williamson and Churchill, Jim, the hospital director, they're all doing a fabulous job.
Jim Ross.
Jim Ross.
Big construction project right now at the University Hospital.
Yes, right. Very important for the cancer research. That's a very interesting example. Cancer research at this university is one of the great examples of what we have prided ourselves in. And it's behind what we call efficiencies also, and that is the interdisciplinary nature of our research program. So there are key cancer research that here historically has been identified with Ellis Fischel and still is, and we want it to continue. But look at where that research is taking place. At our research reactor, I would point out the largest nuclear research reactor in the nation at 10 megawatts. I believe the next biggest is MIT's at about 2.5. Something we're very proud of.
They're just small fry.
That's right. Yeah, Missouri's in the lead here in so many ways, and what we produced in radiopharmaceuticals and the Quadramed and some of these pain-killing derivatives that are used worldwide with the big label of Missouri on them. It's wonderful. We're making money off that, I should emphasize also. That's going to further research again for cancer. Our cancer research takes place in the College of Agriculture, Food and Natural Resources. It's taking place in our College of Veterinary Medicine and in nursing and in health professions, in basic biological sciences, as well as some of the neurological sciences and College of Education. And that's something a lot of the public doesn't recognize. That's why we're very, very cautious about any superficial way as we talk about efficiency and budget reductions. We don't just say, well, what program can we cut vertically? For the most part, you can never gain much efficiency, and you can very seriously impede your ability to go forward as a university.
Well, one of your efficiencies, because of history of this university campus, was to be interdisciplinary in order to share the resources. So I've been particularly, if the folks haven't heard about the translational medicine issue,
right.
That at the University of Missouri, they should. That's where the vet school, for all practical purposes, is working on cancer so that it can translate to humans at an accelerated rate by helping our animal friends develop cures for cancer. And it's an integration that most people would not draw a direct corollary. And as far as medicine's concerned, that's the direction it's going to go.
Wonderful point, David. And let me just point out that when people talk about the sale of Radel, for example, I mean, what do they think we did with those revenues? Those revenues went in an endowment to support exactly this line of research. And with our shrinking budgets from the state, we've just recently reallocated relatively more funding to this area of research at the university. We make those hard decisions. We've engaged in the internal reallocation to an incredible degree. So this translational research is being supported. Our health system now provides almost $60 million in uncompensated care to the state of Missouri and to its citizens. These are tremendous assets that we are beginning to erode at the margin unless we're able to effectively deal with these budget adjustments.
Brady, one of the things that we talk about with Mizzou Healthcare, and I don't think people in our town realize, is the breadth of the service you provide to the state of Missouri. Last time, I think the statistic was over 88 counties that we were providing direct care for.
It's tremendous. Yeah, it's almost every county in the state.
Close to a major trauma center.
Well, both. Yeah, that is, it's that
telemedicine.
It's that hourglass effect is caused by the two major metros, and in this case, Springfield. But it is a significant portion of the citizens of the state of Missouri
Absolutely.
That benefit directly. So when we talk about outreach, medicine is one of the biggest. It's even far, far broader than agriculture as we know it from...
Oh, my goodness, yes, yes. And a very important part of what we're supporting here at this university. And the telemedicine enables our physicians to provide through a system of clinics and innovations and information technology, thanks to the support of Cerner in addressing some of these issues, too. Our physicians make diagnoses here in the clinics and as well as the clinics throughout the state as they work in partnership with them.
Back again. The time right now is 9:44, 60 minutes before 10 o'clock at News Talk 1400. This has been going fast. It's a fast 45 minutes we've been having with Chancellor Deaton. We've enjoyed it. I think he has enjoyed it as well, and we hope to get him back in the future to talk about these issues.
I'll be glad.
Sunday morning is a different segment. There are people that can just sort of sit around and have the second cup of coffee and visit with us at the 1400 spot on the dial. Brady?
I was just going to say I'm very happy to be here, and I'm accepting that open invitation you've provided.
All
I
right.
enjoy these discussions. I think they're very, very important in helping the public and the parents who support their students coming to our university.
We have a phone call at 9:45. Good morning. You're on the air on KFRU.
Just missed out, but I wanted to ask about the nursing school because it seems to me we have jobs that go empty. We have a need, but yet we're sending students off to Brussels and we're educating doctors to send back to India. Why can't we get some of our money spent on the nursing school?
All right. Thanks for the call. Thanks for the question.
We are doing that, of course, and the nursing school is one of the most important components of our health-related education. And because of the quality of one of the very top nursing schools in the nation, our students are very competitive worldwide. They are coming back to Missouri. There's a shortage of nurses. We would like to expand more and are taking steps to enable our School of Nursing to do even better in the future. But they have great leadership there. They got a very dedicated faculty. We know that we're grappling with a lot of issues. Let me say, them going to Brussels strengthens their ability to serve the people of Boone County and the state of Missouri. That doesn't take them away, but it strengthens their credentials. And they're some of the most highly trained nurses in the nation. And we're going to do everything we can, of course, and to ensure that they serve our state and our community.
I can only brag about that.
You've got
too many connections.
You can testify.
Dean Judy Miller is a wonderful find, and she's done a wonderful job. And to the caller, that is one of the issues. One of the issues is there just isn't enough practicum space in that school, and in other words, laboratory space. And so that's something that some of the legislators are trying to address. In particular, Representative Stephen Weber has been very progressive with regard to trying to help the nursing school directly on what you've just talked about.
And I would want to be sure I say a bit more about the capital needs of our university, which when I talk about our efficiency measures, we've achieved some false with the public, and we often interpret that.
I know you're there's some loose ends to tie up, but I would love to hear your take on it. The history, that's up to you, but I just what you think of the whole thing and where we are.
Well, of course, as you know, because it's been so public here and nationally, I'm very happy about where we are right now. And we are tying up the loose ends. We're making continued progress, and we feel very optimistic about that ongoing transition. I thought Al German made a tremendous contribution with his recent article about the potential positive impact that the move to the SEC is making for the state of Missouri, because it will require a bit of an overall change in mindset, and we've got time to engage in that change and that work with one of the most rapidly growing regions of the country, with one of the highest levels of support, let me emphasize, for education also. So we've got a great set of involvements with the Southeastern Conference that will be very important to us. In my early career, as everyone knows, I'm native of Kentucky. I worked at the University of Tennessee and at Virginia Tech. Throughout that period, I worked closely with the Southern Growth Policies Board, which was helping guide the public policies of the Southeastern region of our country. I've brought that, of course, in my work here, and I've worked with my colleagues to help work with state leadership in that same direction. We're going to gain financially, economically, and frankly, competitively in our move to the Southeastern Conference. I spoke with our colleague at the University of South Carolina, my counterpart there, President Pastides, Harris Pastides. We were talking about making a special Columbia to Columbia kind of partnership, creating new traditions, moving forward. We haven't announced that yet in any form, in any symbolic way, but we're going to be addressing it as we work with the conference. And it's a time of great excitement, and it will stretch us competitively in a very positive way. And it will, I think, open up the eyes of our students, and we'll bring more students from the Southeast into Missouri probably as students, and we're not going to lose anything in terms of where we're now getting students because they're coming here because of the quality of our institution.
Talk a little bit, you know, my firm's Kansas City based. Talk a little bit about some of the discussions with the Kansas City folk.
We have reemphasized, even as late as last week with my colleagues, my colleague president at the University of Kansas and Kansas State, which I was engaged in some discussions in the last week with, of trying to maintain a very strong competitive position to bring a top teams from other states to play against and compete against the teams across the athletic spectrum at the University of Missouri, including men's and women's basketball and football. We have a working with the Chamber of Commerce there and key leadership. Mike Alden, our athletic director, has engaged in some formal discussions, and that work is in progress. We're optimistic, even though I know there were some early signals that said, oh, maybe they don't want to do that. We think reality will play its way out there, and as people adjust to a new way of looking at the United States and the role of athletics in higher education, this is going to be good for the Kansas City region as well.
You dropped a phrase earlier, wolf at the door, and I'd like to add wolf, but add an E to the end of it, and talk about the incoming president of the University of Missouri and a graduate, 1980 graduate of MU,
right.
And his father, his parents have been involved in education and higher ed for years.
About a pet wolf, you might say, in this case.
Whatever.
Very, very positive force.
A friendly wolf.
A friendly wolf, right. Yeah, a wonderful person with a very rich background in international business and information technology, and is going to bring fresh perspective to the University of Missouri, and is in a position to provide leadership statewide in our higher education system. And we're thrilled that we've been engaged in very deep discussions with him already, and we'll continue that in some depth as we look to the next few weeks.
You're getting him to work right now, getting ready without having to pay him. That's another of those efficiencies, I guess.
That's exactly right.
We all wish him well. I've met him. Others have. I have a good feeling that he'll be coming to the helm as the right guy at the right time. He'll have his challenges, that's for sure.
He will, but he's got a great team. We think, of course, I don't mean that to be self-serving, but there's a great spirit of working together here. And he's demonstrated the qualities of leadership and cooperation that will make it important to go forward. And it's an exciting time. In that sense, a very exciting time for the university.
Let's grab another phone call here. Chancellor Deaton is our guest this morning. 9:52 is the time, and you're on the air.
Could the chancellor compare and contrast the financial benefits to the academic part of our school here from the new arrangement with the SEC?
All right. Thanks.
Yes, let me say that the athletic budget of our university, of course, at about $60 million, is well below most of the Southeastern Conference schools. And that's because they have a large fan base and one of the most successful conferences in the nation in terms of the TV and media contracts that they have negotiated. And quite frankly, we expect to be a beneficiary of that so that our athletic budget will improve. And we do not provide support for that athletic budget outside what they earn. And our board has emphasized that athletics needs to be self-sufficient. In fact, they bring in $7 million or so each year in scholarships to 500 student-athletes and work with us very cooperatively in so many ways. Mike Alden, I just have to say, has been a tremendous leader, as I think his record will demonstrate. He's part of our strategic team at the university and has enabled us to make the kind of integrated decisions on those academic components of the university that are so important for our athletic success as well. We're committed to graduating our student-athletes, and that's a theme that is very important, and people need to understand that. And frankly, we have the commitment of the athletic director, his staff, and the coaches of this university toward those goals. There are important goals, and that's why we have some of our top student athletes with us today and have had in the past. You only need to talk to them individually to realize how important that is. And so academically, the universities in the Southeastern Conference are among the, we'll have four AAU universities in the Southeastern Conference, which is about the same as we had in the Big 12. Overall, they rank a bit higher in their in external research support. They have quality students. They're again, overall, it's a probably a bit stronger a set of academic institutions. With all due respect to those that we have in the Big 12, nothing negative there. But if you look at some of the objective rankings of research and students and their overall profile, it's a group of very excellent, outstanding universities. And I just, Xavier Billingsley, the MSA president of the University of Missouri, just in the last few weeks, we had had him for dinner at our house, and he was talking about how he's meeting with his colleagues, the MSA, the student governance across the Southeastern Conference, and how they're working together to strengthen the role that the students play, to build on academic programs. And my discussion with Harris Pastides at South Carolina was also oriented toward how can we work with our provost staff and those academic exchanges that are so vital to ensuring that we get this cross-current of strength and knowledge about economic development and research strategies working across the region. That's a gain we have.
And Brady, one of the things that struck me about the whole conversation in Kansas City was how short-sighted it was academically.
Yes.
The animal health corridor
right.
is the perfect example.
Right.
There is no way there's going to be a disassociation between Kansas State and University of Missouri regarding animal health sciences, and Kansas is smack dab in the middle.
Right.
Yet, by MU being in the SEC, it brings some of the
That's
greatest
right.
ag schools in the country directly into the matrix that weren't in the matrix at all. I think
Excellent
it's a great
point.
Opportunity for MU.
That's a good point.
That was very
and
good.
KU and
absolutely.
K-State.
KU and K-State will gain from our association,
That's
South
right.
Dean's Conference. I know that their leadership recognizes that, and we're going to strategically ensure that that is one of those leveraging synergistic steps that leads to greater research in support of that animal health corridor, the greatest concentration in the world of animal health industries, from Columbia through Kansas City up to toward Iowa State and Nebraska to other great research universities that we will work with.
Something that I didn't realize early on, and I'm just now beginning to fully appreciate, is the fan support in the SEC when all these schools that we'll be dueling with on the football field go elsewhere. So we have, I don't know how many games we have lined up. I know it starts with Georgia in early September.
Right.
But I think people will be amazed at how many people from these SEC schools come up here. And that's given rise to this nascent idea of Tiger Town.
Right.
Bob Gerding, Greg Steinhoff, and others are working on that, where it would be a partnership with the university in the downtown district, et cetera, maybe others. But I, if that could be pulled off, I think it will be amazing to people, the influx of people, and we want to be a great welcoming community and make their stay wonderful, except for the outcome of the football game, of course.
Right.
I'm optimistic after hearing a briefing on all that. I think that's a bigger deal than I first thought, and that it's a huge deal as to how many people travel.
It is, and it's amazing. And my colleagues in the Southeastern Conference presidents and chancellors keep emphasizing to me how important that is and how many of their fans are coming our way. So they want us to be prepared also. And I really appreciate the way that the city of Columbia has stepped up. And we have a committee both on campus and with the city and the chamber to collaboratively build the kind of welcoming environment and to be prepared for it, because that many more students and the hotels they're going to need. And
yeah, I forgot to mention the city. They're an integral part, too.
Very, very much so. And but it's, a wonderful opportunity to show the best and to serve as that great vehicle for promoting economic development.
Yep. Brady, one of the things we talk about on this show almost too much is the airport.
Right.
And all the time it comes up, well, what's the university doing? What's the university pitching? What's the university going to do? They're the big dog. What are they going to play? Talk about the university's involvement with the airport right now.
They're very deep, as you know. No, David, we're very deeply involved in discussions jointly with the city and with various airlines. I know this week, I believe, in fact, the delegations are going to be off to St. Louis and perhaps other areas to emphasize those points. We stand ready and have been providing hard resources as well as very knowledgeable personnel, and to work with our faculty in terms of promoting travel patterns that will strengthen the airport. The airport's a very vital cog in what we're trying to achieve, both work-wise and athletically. And those fans coming from the Southeast, most importantly, the international linkages and the research growth, the conferencing that can be brought to Columbia. We've got to improve our airport, expand that service, and the University of Missouri can be counted on to be a very active partner.
Chancellor Deaton, Brady Deaton, this has been a very important 45 minutes we spent with you. We look forward to having you back again. Unfortunately, the time is eating up, and I have to join the network. We have to observe civil time. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for this opportunity.